Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he will come again to judge both the living and the dead. So we confess in the Christian Creed, this last week of the church year puts us in mind of that judgment which is indeed coming. In the face of that future, the Holy Writer to the Hebrews speaks to us now. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. God spoke to Israel at Sinai in cloudy majesty and smoky awe. His voice caused the earth to quiver. The peal of thunder, the fiery flashes of lightning, the blast of the trumpet were not a sound and light show designed to draw seekers to Sinai. In fact, they chased people away. Deus absconditus is not an amusement park deity domesticated for tourists who want a religious experience. This is no mysterium tremendum that can be analytically studied and classified by scholars only to be tucked away on a library shelf. No, at Sinai there is a God whose words kill. The children of Israel were terrified by the law, awestruck by the sovereignty of God, whose voice booms down from the craggy peaks of the holy mountain. But they refused the voice of the Lord. They did not obey the Lord who spoke. The book of Exodus records the sad tale of Israel's rejection of the voice of the Lord. She complained about the rigors of life in the wilderness. Then, when God gave her manna from the bounty of his goodness, Israel grumbles. Israel wants something novel. So she institutes her own alternative worship program featuring a golden calf, Yahweh's substance, Canaanite style. It was culturally relevant, but it was culturally relevant idolatry. Idolatry at its very best. And God was displeased. You see, idolatry always ends in death. Sinai's law unerringly sniffs out sin, uncovering our failure to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Sinai's law unmasks our pious pretensions. Sinai is lethal. There is no life to be found there. There are no crevices on that mountain that will hide us from the judge of all. There are no caves deep enough to shelter us from the wrath of God's accusing law. Hebrews tells us of another mountain. You have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place where the temple was located. Jerusalem was the place where God located his own name and his own presence. But the temple to which we have come is the temple of Jesus' flesh. It is through his flesh that we have access to God. It is in him that we are partakers Of all the things described in our text for today, where Christ Jesus is, there is his church in heaven and on earth. We are with the Lord, and therefore we are with his saints and angels. That is why the liturgy announces, when we come to Christ's Holy Supper, that we come with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. In this holy assembly, we hear the word of the judge. But it is not a sentence of guilt and condemnation. Rather, the word of our judge is a word of absolution. That is to say, the verdict of the last day slips out ahead of time, as through the mouth of the Lord's servant, we are declared not guilty. We are with Jesus, the liturgist of our salvation, who is both priest and victim. By his blood, the blood of the New Testament shed on the cross and given in the chalice for us to drink, our sin is consumed and we are rendered clean. Indeed, the blood of the New Testament bespeaks better things than Abel's blood. For the blood of our Abel, the blood of our innocent one, cries out not for vengeance, but bespeaks reconciliation and atonement. The blood of our Christ proclaims peace and pardon from heaven to earth. Where is this Mount Zion, this heavenly Jerusalem of which Hebrews speaks? It is here. It is here as Jesus' faith-creating words are proclaimed, giving consolation to broken sinners. It is here as water is comprehended in God's command and connected with God's word, sprinkled on Josiah Don, washing away his sin, giving him the Holy Spirit, and enrolling him in the church of the firstborn. It is here as Christ's body and blood, food from Calvary, as the hymn puts it, are given us to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, is not in some far distant future. It is here and now. For the Lord, who will come openly at the end, and then be unveiled to human sight, comes here now with his words and with his body and his blood. And therefore, to use the apt words of one theologian, when we come to the Lord's table, we are to go as though we are going to our death, so that when we go to our death, we may go as though we were going to the Lord's table. So the exhortation given to Hebrews, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, is directed now to us. It is a word aimed for our ears in these waning days of the church year. To refuse him who speaks is to be left only with the frightening terror of our sins, sin unforgiven, and under the heat of God's wrath. To refuse the free gifts of Mount Zion is to be left in captivity to the demands of Sinai. But you have come to Mount Zion. You have a citizenship granted by your baptism in the heavenly Jerusalem. And so God says to you this day that you are indeed receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It is a kingdom that comes from a king who made the cross to be the throne of his glory. And that king, now raised up from death, lives and reigns as your brother and your Savior. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. For of a truth, his words are spirit, and they are life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.